Hey, you know that feeling when your mind won't shut off at night? Or the stress just keeps piling and piling up? What if I told you there might be a solution that you should check out? How about the folks at CBDFX? They recently sent me some samples. I know all about the CBD phenomenon these days, and I'm curious but a little bit skeptical. Well, I've been trying them out to find out what works best for me. There's a whole range of products, gummies, capsules, topicals, you name it. I've been testing their CBD and CBD night capsules. They're built to get you asleep fast and keep you asleep all night. CBN is what they call the ultimate relaxation cannabinoid and is packed with other natural sleep support. They also make these original mixed berry CBD gummies that have won 4 Healthline Best CBD Gummy Awards, and they're gentle and they have calming effects. They're great for overall wellness and they actually taste good. Natural berry flavor. CBDFX has been doing this since 2014, so they've got it down. Everything is USA made with organic hemp, no GMOs, no pesticides, no harmful chemicals, all verified by third-party lab testing. Whether you want calm, focus, better sleep, or just an overall wellness boost, CBDFX has something for you. Right now, my listeners get 40% off your first order with code ZABE at CBDFX. That's code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo at CBDFX.com. 40% off using my promo code. Feel the difference with CBDFX. Did you know that your calendar age does not always match how old your body truly is? Your biological age and the age of your cells and organs is the number one predictor of your risk for serious diseases. That's why I ordered the True Age test from True Diagnostic. With just a simple at-home finger prick, you can uncover your true biological age and get personalized insights. No doctor visits, no labs. Look, I'll be honest, when I learned that if your biological age is just 5 years older than your actual age, your disease risk can jump 30 to 50%. I got a little bit nervous. I mean, I'm the guy who thinks ketchup counts as a vegetable. But up to 90% of biological aging is driven by lifestyle. The way we eat, move, sleep, and manage stress has a massive impact on how fast our bodies age. True Diagnostic gives you a personalized report with science-backed steps to actually slow down aging. I'm kind of dreading what my results might say, but I am curious. Maybe this will finally be the wake-up call that gets me and you back on track. The test is super easy. Send in your sample using the prepaid mailer, and in 2 to 3 weeks, you get your detailed report. If you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to TrueDiagnostic.com and use my code ZABE to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. TrueDiagnostic.com, promo code ZABE at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you. Today's Power Lunch is brought to you by The Palm at Tyson's Corner, Virginia. Sure, The Palm is great for a fancy night out, but it's also the perfect midweek spot for a lunch with a client, or lunch to catch up with a friend, or maybe even to do an interesting podcast like this. Power Lunch menu selections at The Palm start at $26 for an appetizer, meal, and dessert. Book your reservation today directly at thepalm.com, open table, or by calling them at 703-917-0200.
I can make most anything on the menu except
whatever you got is fine.
I'm going to say some bad words. You're just going to have to deal with it.
PB&J with the crusts cut off. Well, Brian, this is a very nutritious lunch.
Hey, you got enough money to pay for all this? You know, money, cash, dollars, dinero.
So what I believe you were trying to say is thank you.
Thank you?
You're welcome. What can I say except you're welcome?
I know. Trust me, Buck. I have appeared today completely unprepared. Because I'm holding this mic. Do you notice this?
I do see that.
Get up on the mic. We're on the air. There you go. Proper mic skills. Perfect. Get a level check on you. Steve Buckance, everybody. How are we doing?
I'm great. My football team's ranked 19th in the country. Got a big game Friday night.
That won't matter?
Probably won't matter unless Duke beats Virginia.
Which we're going to get into. Chris Nockey, how are you today, my friend?
I'm well, Zabe. Good to see you, man.
All right.
You too,
good
Buck?
To have you here.
You too, Nock.
So I was saying I'm totally unprepared because I'm holding my mic like a chump.
But you did have everything set up when I got here.
Well, yeah, I was early but unprepared. So I didn't. I took the stand out that goes with this mic, and I left it somewhere strewn in my office like an idiot, and I didn't check my bag. I also realized I had a bunch of sound bites I wanted to play for you guys, and I didn't bring headphones.
So we won't hear them.
Well, I'm going to have to audible out of them. Unless you want to just huddle around my laptop here and take a listen.
I think he's going to do sign language.
Yeah, we could call somebody in for that.
Hey, if the stick mic is good enough for Joel Myers, it's good enough for Steve Zabin.
I'm Joel Myers. Joel. How many packs of cigarettes does Joel Myers
and
smoke?
Good wine,
a day?
Too. He's a real wine.
Oh, he's
wine.
Got such a deep
He's got
set
his
of
own
pipes.
Cellar.
Yes,
of wine
he does.
Down he's in Naples, Florida. No, he's a good friend. And a great broadcaster.
So I got a question for you, Buck Hantz, to start today's podcast, which is I noticed the Auburn football play-by-play guy had a clip of him in the booth calling the last fumble by them, which extinguished their hopes to win the Iron Bowl. And he was watching the game and calling the game off a large monitor right there at his broadcast position in the stadium. And I thought to myself, and Naki, you can weigh in on this because you're next to Johnny Holiday all the time there at courtside at Maryland games. I'm like, is that cheating or is that a better way to call the game because television is so good?
So he was doing radio, obviously, not TV.
I don't know that. No, well, I think it was the radio guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So there's some mitigating circumstances here that you have to consider, okay?
Okay.
First of all, let's go back to 2020 during COVID when we started to play games again. Nobody was traveling to arenas. They were calling games off of monitors.
Correct.
Okay? Everybody. I'm talking about NBA, NFL, college. Everybody's at home calling it off a monitor. So they got used to that. And then as we started to come out of that, announcers were owners who were being frugal to a fault, realized that they could save money by keeping their announcers at home.
That's right.
And calling them off at home, off TV. And then eventually they realize, okay, we can't do that. We've got to. But for the longest time, Bob Carpenter with the Nationals, Dave Johnson, everybody was at home calling the game.
I understand all that. My key question, though, is as a play-by-play man,
right,
is it cheating to call the game off a monitor when you're in the stadium? And once upon a time, you had to rely on your naked eye, binoculars, and a spotter to know what was going on.
Binoculars and a spotter for football and not for basketball.
Yeah,
but
obviously.
Yes, mitigating circumstances, again, in certain arenas, and Naki will tell you this, for basketball, where depending where you're sitting, you might not be able to see a certain corner of the court.
The sight lines are terrible.
I can help with this.
Yeah.
In football, specifically college football, these guys are oftentimes 5 or 6 stories above the field.
Right.
He has built a better mousetrap by doing this. It is not cheating.
Okay.
I will tell you that I've walked into Maryland's radio booth. It is literally...
For football.
These guys are army ants down on the field. And not only that, when you add in...
Alt uniforms with the shitty numbers.
With the odd font.
Oh yeah,
you know, in the strange font and this and the weird, as you said, the weird matching colors are
right.
I tell you what, it is absolutely the way to go.
See, that was my gut instinct, Naki, that he has built a better
mousetrap. But you don't have to do it the whole game. He might not be doing it the whole game.
On the call, he did call it off the monitor.
By the way,
I noticed.
He sounded like somebody shot the dog.
Well, of
right?
course. That's what happens.
Auburn loses to Alabama on a fumble, and you'd have thought that
people died.
Fido had, had you know.
Well, and remember, if he didn't call it that way, if he sold the call like, and fumble by Auburn, Alabama's going to win the Iron Bowl, they would have fired his ass. They would have said, boy. Who are you broadcasting for? You're broadcasting for War Damn Eagles.
Did you ever?
Why'd you sound so excited by that? Did you have money on them bastards?
Did you hear? This is 2 weeks ago. The Creighton announcer go ballistic on the officials.
About a call.
It was awful announcing. Yeah, yes. a block charge call.
I did Navy.
I thought of you because how you described them as the referees, the men who steal food off your children's plate.
I love it. I did Navy for 7 years, radio. So when we went to Notre Dame, the year we went, they were building a new press box. and we were in a makeshift press box that was just wooden. It was like one of these firework stands that you see that's all wood.
That's
what we were in, and it might have been 5 degrees there.
Oh my God.
And so we were in the elements. There was nothing covering the press box. Most of the press boxes have glass,
sure,
which a lot of times is why you don't hear crowd noise in some of these stadiums, because they haven't piped it in, you know, they haven't mixed it in. But this guy doing it like that, I can't imagine he called the whole game off the monitor. I can't imagine why you would do that in a football stadium.
Because it's better. You can see more.
Well, no,
You're in for a dollar. I think if you start doing the game like that, you're gonna do it the whole way.
You can refer to the monitor, but I wouldn't call the whole game off. You look at the replay and you tell your audience, hey, we're looking at a replay on TV and I'm seeing this. You know, you inform them that you're doing that. But I wouldn't do the whole game like that. It's crazy. Okay.
All right, interesting. So it's kind of like you guys are on slightly opposite sides of this.
Well, when you do TV, for instance, and when you do football TV, I don't know if people know this, but the announcers always stand for the whole game. You never sit.
Really?
You stand up. When I did three Fox games, NFL on Fox, because you want to be able to maneuver around and not sit there and look at the monitor. Now, there are two huge monitors for you. Occasionally, a color guy like Madden may have sat because he's older.
Why wouldn't you stand for radio then?
I don't know.
Good question. By the way, radio has been, in this day and age of luxury seating and skybox, you know, all the suites and stuff like that, radio has been relegated.
Oh my God.
They're in the worst.
It is terrible.
Worst
isn't
possible.
It?
I think at the Commanders games, I think Bram and company are
in the corner.
Yeah. I mean, there are only a couple of Big Ten arenas where Johnny and I sit courtside anymore.
I was going to say, how many Big Ten places do you actually get courtside?
Most of them have moved us upstairs.
Yeah, can you remember TV which ones?
Yeah, well, Minnesota, we're in Duluth for that game. Yeah.
I bet you I know one of them, and that would be Assembly Hall, because there's no place to
Assembly
put
Hall
you.
Well, gives us the best seats in the house.
I know, because the way it's a big V, where would they put you?
Yeah, and it's such a great place
Have you ever done a game at Cameron?
Yes, I have several. Yeah, when Maryland was in the ACC.
I did a Wizards exhibition game, and you're up in the crow's nest.
I love the spot.
And the whole thing's steel. And, I mean, you have to literally crawl in there. I don't know how people like Dick Vitale and these guys.
Hey, baby, I'd crawl over broken glass to do dookie.
They have it padded because you can hurt yourself getting in there.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
But it's a great perch.
It's awesome.
It almost looks right over top
of the court. Once upon a time, could you spit on Krzyzewski's dyed hair? Because that'd be a cool spot to have.
That'd be a long hawk. It'd be a long hawk.
Pretty good. You ever seen me?
But that happened, of course, with NBA. 90% of the announcers for TV are up. And I used to say, you know, when they moved us up into the section, I had a better view of Venus than I did the game. And it's true.
Well, once upon a time, the golden age of play-by-play and sports was you traveled with the team, always, ding. You were courtside, always,
right,
ding. You were in the team hotel, ding.
You still are.
All those things
are still.
Except courtside.
Except the courtside.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Occasional exception, when Mike Gorman was doing the Celtics, and he's retired now, but he did it for 40-some years, with Tommy Heinsohn. They sat, not only did they sit mid, 50-yard line, mid-court.
Yeah.
But they sat on the side where the network announcers sit, which is generally the other side of the press table. Right in the middle. So they had it in their deal, I guess, because of Heinsohn. He's like, don't put me up here.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here.
He's a made guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's got the bomber jacket.
Okay, speaking of where you sit, do you know why the Boogermobile, the infamous, much-mocked, mechanical cart Booger McFarland up and down the sidelines to broadcast from, you know why that vehicle was made in the first place?
Tell me.
Buck, do you know?
No.
Because Jason Witten had it in his contract that he would be the only analyst in the booth.
Oh my God!
Exactly. And so they're like, "Well, we're adding Booger McFarland.
Jason Witten,
who was one of the most terrible hires ever, right? As an announcer, didn't work out. As bad as Drew Brees was the first time around, as bad as Sean Payton was,
yeah.
Guys, you would have thought these guys are going to be great on television. Yeah, wow. that was the reason.
No
because,
idea.
Yeah, because he was the only guy that could be up in the booth according to their thing. So they're like, why don't we build this huge mobile studio on stilts and wheels? I would love it if it was in some back lot somewhere and it came up on an auction site. I'd love to buy the Booger Mobile.
Put it up there with your goalposts.
Yeah, right, exactly. Just drive it up and down to broadcast the game. The Black Friday game did not happen again this year for I don't know what number year, 5-6 years in a row. It's kind of sad. And the grass is not as good as it was when I really put time and effort and blame. Money into it. Me, you're looking
yeah.
at him.
Yes. Yeah.
Look at me. It's called giving up on life,
Knocker. You just gave up.
A little bit at a time.
A little bit at a time.
And here we are.
at the Palm.
We talked about this before you got here. As you get a little older, you start to give up just a little bit more.
Yep.
Well,
you're going strong still, you know. Yeah.
But if you go with the flow, it's all good. Life is good. Like, I was going to play for you the bite of Ed Orgeron when he got fired at LSU, when they said, well, we owe you $17 million, but we're going to pay you. And I said, what door do you want me to go out and when do you want me to leave?
Really?
And we're in buyout season now for coaches.
Oh, my God. So
unbelievable. Let me get
well,
you guys
started,
on
started, right? I mean, yeah. with the guy at Penn State and what Franklin got, you know, walking out the door. And
right. And one of the topics I have for today is the Jimmy Sexton angle. Do you know who Jimmy Sexton is?
Sure.
Super agent to college football coaches, broadcasters, and more. Could you pick Jimmy Sexton out of Duke Ellington's band if you had a chance? Because I didn't know what he looked like.
Yeah, I've met him once.
Okay. Buck, you've never met Jimmy Sexton?
I haven't.
Okay. Big old boy. Big old Southern boy. And he is, like, so powerful, apparently. He is crippling Penn State's coaching search, according to some, like Todd McShay. Penn State, the first signing day happened yesterday, and Penn State had no top 100 recruits for like the first time ever. Like, they are in a bad spot, Penn State.
Well, they wanted to hire the guy from BYU, right? And the church got involved, and Crumble Cookie got involved, and and I guess they ponied up.
And they were looking at my coach too.
Yeah,
who's going,
well,
to,
he's
UCLA.
Going to UCLA? Right.
Yeah. Yep. We can't keep a coach at James Madison
yeah.
or players.
So
it's unfortunate.
So Penn State's in real trouble. The coach at BYU, Kalani Sitake,
mm-hmm.
going to be making
I had that at happy hour yesterday.
Kalani Sitake.
Kalani Sitake.
That's fun. I had one at the doctor's office of Kalani, and the preparation is maddening. Just horrible preparation. But it's the best sleep you'll get all year.
Oh, really?
A good nap. Good mid-morning nap, yeah.
BYU is going to pay him up $9 to $9.5 million. BYU.
Well, they're pulling up. I mean, they given
for DiBenza. I know in basketball.
DiBenza, yeah, he's making $6 or $7 million.
They're going to commit to $10 to $15 million of NIL money on top of the revenue sharing. If this is happening at BYU, it's happening everywhere. And one of the big things that's Penn State's going to have to come to realize is they're not that good of a job. It's not that good of a spot because now, Naki, everybody has resources and the arms race is on. So what are you if you're Penn State? You've got some history, but you got a scandal. You're in the middle of nowhere. You're in the Big Ten, which is fine, but you're not going to be Ohio State. Any delusions of Penn State being Ohio State or Michigan, they should get rid of those right away.
I think history is going to show that Franklin did a really good job there.
Yes, it is.
And he brought them out of the scandal, you know.
From the ashes.
From the ashes.
Right.
He made them relevant. They were in the playoffs.
They won a lot of games.
They won a lot of games. And then he gets kicked to the curb. And they have to pony up all that dough to send him out the door.
Yeah, zero recruits from early signing day, and their overall rank, it says, is somewhere, it said, according to this website, they'll be the first Power Four class ever to have nobody sign. The closest thing you could find was SMU and Washington with 10 people signed.
How about that? Wow.
So, yeah, they got no players right now, and it's apparently Sexton. The other part of the Sexton angle is Saban. Nick Saban apparently told Lane Kiffin to go take the LSU job. Did he disclose this on College Game Day? Of course not. Is Saban going to become as unlikable as Belichick?
Well, he's certainly still a god down there. I mean,
do you find him as likable?
The only thing I find likable about Saban is how he runs that Airbnb in that commercial.
The commercials are great.
Yeah, that's very good.
Yeah.
But I think he's, and I have no doubt that he told, you know, he was a conduit to get to take that job. And also, that, you know, I thought that when Kevin Willard left Maryland, he left in the worst possible way. Well, Lane Kiffin said, hold my beer.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Worse. And
have you seen the players come out now on social media going, yeah, no, we told you to leave. That your narrative of, oh, the players wanted me to stay. Multiple Ole Miss players have come out on social media on their verified accounts and said, yeah, no, not at all.
In both cases, it's pretty apparent that job was accepted a month before it was announced.
Of course.
You know, and that's just the way it works.
But with Nick Saban pushing, though, and then he has the audacity with Herb Street to go on ESPN and deflect and say it's the schedule and to actually lobby to have him stick around for the rest of the year. Like, to me, that's slimy as hell. And I guess I'm naive, Naki. At one point 5 years ago, I put Belichick and Saban up on the top shelf.
Mm-hmm.
I accepted that, you know, Saban was, all right, we're going to lose if we don't play well. All right, you know, his whole hard-ass thing. But I'm like, I get it. This guy's got some credibility. I've got some respect. Same thing for Belichick. Grumpy, run to Cincinnati, blah, blah, blah.
Well, they coached with each other, right? Saban.
They did. They did briefly, and they also got together in the offseason. But I had them both up there, which is probably a me problem. It's probably just me being naive. Well, Belichick has fallen completely off of that with this thing with his child girlfriend and how bad a job he's doing and how much he's mailing it in down there, and he doesn't give a fuck.
And he's the highest paid employee in the state of North Carolina.
Ding. But now Nick Saban, I feel like, is on the verge of maybe falling in my eyes as well. Maybe I shouldn't be so naive.
Well, I mean, his juice and the qualities as a college football coach are unquestionable. I mean, he's done it everywhere he's been. He's been uber successful.
It's just that he has been relatable since joining the media, Nick Saban. And I would say somewhat likable. And he has sat next to the shirtless McAfee, played those games.
He's likable as a function of how he's written on Aflac commercials and the Airbnb.
Of course.
But other than that, people will tell you that there's nothing particularly likable. His assistant coaches, you know, hated him working for him. Tough guy to work for.
I hear you. Anyway, college football is in a wild spot. So can I get a final net on you, Buckhands, while we get ready to eat our lovely lobster bisque here as part of the Power Lunch at the Palm. Dennis is taking great care of us. Get a little bit of spritzy pepper on yours. I'll take some pepper as well. And no pepper for Buckhands. And no,
is there parsley?
No green parsley either. Thank God for that.
On anybody's.
Before you dig in, sit tight. Here's the question. The presumption is, Buckhands, if Duke wins, then it's going to be two teams from the group of five.
Right.
One of them being, we hope, your James Madison Dukes.
That's correct.
The other one being North Texas, probably. Maybe Tulane.
Maybe. Right now it's Tulane.
How come no one in the media has said flat out, well, if Duke wins, the ACC is screwed? I haven't heard that yet. I haven't heard any pundit say that. Been talking about it with my buddy Jim Bonahoom, who's a big Purdue fan, and he's like, well, they're out because look at where they're ranked right now. There's no way they're going to jump up above either one of those conference champs.
Can you let Miami in even though they're not in the ACC playoff game?
Miami is so screwed on this.
Man, they are screwed. If I'm a Hurricane fan, I just beside myself with this whole process. But to answer your question, so much of it has to do with strength of schedule and – you know, who have you played and who'd you lose to and by how many points? You know, James Madison would be there, you know, if, as our buddy Ken Beatrice used to say, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, oh, what a party there'd be. But had they beaten Louisville and they had the game won, they fumbled in their own end zone, they had the game won, then it wouldn't be a question. Of course, they'd be undefeated and they'd be there. They're 11 and 1 now.
Right.
But I don't know how you justify the other thing. But I just
you
know
you can't
that,
justify putting Duke in if they win.
Right.
I agree.
But the ACC, Naki, and I know you're now Mr. Big Ten, but once upon a time you were born and bred of the Atlantic Coast Conference and had great affinity for that league, or that league, as Gary, your boy, would say, the league. They're not a trivial league. They're down. Clemson's down. Florida State's down. But they're not a bitch. You can't leave the ACC out of this thing, can you?
I think the powers that be would are dying for Virginia to win this game.
Oh.
To make the decision, you know, kind of a
I think if they need to put five thumbs on the scale for Virginia, they will. Because this would be bad. I think they don't want the ACC as a league even more pissed off because Florida State got hosed a couple years ago.
Well, isn't one of the guys on the committee a UVA guy? Pretty sure.
Well, but the guy on the committee who's got a vested interest is supposed to excuse himself from that cigar smoke.
Wow, recuse myself.
But this also goes back to me to what we were talking about with Franklin taking the Virginia Tech job. Yep. It's not that hard to go and win that league if you're James Franklin. As bad as the ACC is right now, as down as it is,
I would imagine he's looking at it like a ripe plum tomato.
No doubt about
ready
it.
Ready to be.
He's going to recruit the hell out of the DMV, yep. Tidewater, and oh, yeah. You know, the areas Tech has really done traditionally well in. And yeah,
all right, very good.
Yep.
Let's eat our soup. We'll come back with the back half after our power lunch here at the Palm. We got Naki and Buck Hantz on a Wednesday. You know, one of the things I love most about Indeed is that it makes hiring so fast. In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. If you are overwhelmed by the hiring process or you've been struggling to get your job posts seen, listen up. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. Your post jumps right to the top of the page for relevant candidates, so you reach exactly who you want faster. And it makes a huge difference, according to Indeed data. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this podcast will get $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the podcast by saying you heard about it right here on this pod. Indeed.com/Charlie Zulu Alpha Bravo Echo. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring Indeed is all you need. Free is a zero tobacco nicotine pouch designed for people who want a simple, hassle-free way to enjoy nicotine without smoke, vapor, or the smell. Everything about Free is engineered for ease. Fast flavor, fast effect, and fast delivery straight to your door. The strength range goes from 3 milligrams all the way up to 15 milligrams. So whether you're looking for something on the lighter side or you want maximum strength, they've got you covered. Flavors, mint, wintergreen, watermelon, which is new, plus lush, sweet, and original. Enough variety that picking a flavor feels like picking a mood. Available in single tins, mega packs, and bundles for those who like to commit. The pouches come pre-primed, so flavor and effect hit instantly. No waiting around. They're soft, flexible, sit comfortably, and the whole setup is discreet. Compact tins, zero smoke, zero vapor, perfect for meetings, commutes, or just getting through the day. You can get your instant delivery straight to your door or pick them up whenever you normally get your nicotine. Right now, my listeners can get 20% off their order at freepouch.com. That's F-R-E. Pouch.com with promo code LISTEN20. That's freepouch.com, FREPouch.com, and use promo code LISTEN20 to get 20% off today. FRE, free. Strength you can count on. The holidays are here, and if you've got names on your list that are impossible to buy for, don't panic. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts that you can't find anywhere else. You'll discover presents that feel meaningful and personal, never rushed or last minute.
I found something perfect for any football fan in your life, the New York Times Custom Football Book. You pick your favorite NFL team, and they create a custom book with actual front page coverage from the Times going all the way back to that team's early years. We're talking historic games, championships, legendary moments, over 90 pages of real newspaper history. Talk about a gift that will blow them away. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, book lovers, sports fans, foodies, mixologists, and gardeners. You'll find unforgettable gifts that are anything but ordinary. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. And with every purchase you make, they give $1 back to nonprofit partners of your choice. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Zabe. That's uncommongoods.com/CZ-Alpha-Bravo-Echo for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
All right, we are back. I had the chicken parm today here at the Power Lunch, and it was phenomenal. I mean, it's a routine dish, chicken parm. Everyone does it a little bit differently, but man, it was fresh and hot.
That's always good at the Palm.
It is good.
The chicken parm and the veal parm are really always good here. I mean, what's not good? You know.
Well, the veal parm is not part of the Power Lunch, so it's part of our arrangement here, and we're very happy to have it. it's an upcharge, and I'm out of work, so I don't have the ability to pay for the upcharges. The days of oysters for you, upcharge, veal parm,
clams,
upcharge.
Yeah.
The last
clams.
Time Buck and I had the veal parm, I think I didn't eat for a week after that. It was the size of a
small animal. A clown's head.
Yeah.
All right, so, Nock, you just got back from the so-called Players Era Invitational in Vegas, this new fab thing where it was just play for money, play for nil money.
No, you don't even have to play for money. They give you money before you show up.
But then the more you win, the more you earn.
So every team gets a mil up front.
Meaning it goes to the university coffers.
It goes to the NIL.
Fund of each school.
Fund of each school.
So it cannot be re-diverted to swimming or badminton or
Supposed to not be divertible.
Okay.
But then you also get a travel stipend, and that's negotiable. So Maryland's travel stipend might have been $250,000, $300,000. So
nice.
You're not losing any money on this deal at all.
Who sponsored this?
So there's a whole bunch of corporate sponsors. If you saw any of the tournament or any of the games played at either location.
A lot of corporate champions, as the NCAA likes to say.
Geico was, you know, had to name it mid-court, but the branding is everywhere. And TNT was all over this all week.
TNT and True TV.
True TV. Every game was broadcast.
Did the guys play hard?
Yeah.
Were the games good?
Some were great.
Some were great. The format, I understand, needs some tweaking.
So they don't know how to do that. Next year's going to be different.
Because there was no bracket.
No bracket, and there's some certain subjectivity.
Dumbest thing ever.
Why
no bracket?
Because you can't play enough games in the short period of time that all the teams are out there.
Well, you have a loser's bracket, so you fall out of the main bracket into a second one.
That feels like an AAU tournament to me. So the problem is, too, so you after, because of the way the math works at the end, you've got five undefeated teams. Now, how do you decide who gets into the finals? And by the way, in the finals, you're playing for $2 million. The winner makes
really?
$2 million.
Wow, so there's incentive there.
So the way they decide it is on a points differential basis.
That's so unacceptable.
Which also leads to teams just piling on in the first round or two. You know, winning by 20 isn't enough. Let's win by 30, 32.
So where's it going? Next year, bigger, better, larger?
Next year, 32 teams. They run the first 16 teams in the second week of November, the second 16 teams the third week of November, and then the best four teams from those 2 weeks come back the week of Thanksgiving to play it off.
Would this have been legal and acceptable before all of this?
Not a chance. Not even close.
But so the teams out there, so Kansas, Syracuse, you know, Tennessee, a lot of name brands, Gonzaga, Michigan ends up winning the tournament. But so they asked Bill Self after one of the games, does this mean the death of, like, the Maui tournament and the Atlantis tournament? And Self said, oh, no, not if they start paying.
Oh.
So I mean, and that's the way it is. That is the way it is.
That's the way it
is. So these guys, the guy who started it.
Who is it?
His name's Seth Berger. He's got a team of people, but he's the guy who behind And-One back in the day, all the And-One.
The
gear.
Professor. He's a skip to my Lou.
The professor. But he's got, you know, he's building a better mousetrap. Like we talk, and so I'm telling you, this is the way things are going. And you don't even have to squint your eyes to see. He could have a plan for next March or for subsequent Marches where teams are, rather than playing in the big dance.
Right. They're getting paid.
He's got TV partners and they're getting paid.
Well, once upon a time, the NIT was big enough that some schools chose it over the NCAA.
I am old enough to remember Al McGuire and Marquette choosing the NIT. You remember that? That was 1970. And the reason he did that?
It was the seeding. They sent him out of region, I believe.
He did it because he was, I can't remember the name of the sporting goods company, but remember Marquette had those uniforms that you wore it untucked and it matched the shirt, kind of matched the pants? Of course, when we're off the air, I'm going to remember the name of his company, but he had an interest in that company, and he thought he would get more exposure going to New York his team.
Get out. I could look it up if I wasn't holding my microphone because I didn't plan correctly for today's podcast.
I'm going to hold that for you.
something Careful. I've never heard Careful. Him say.
That's something I'll never say again.
I'm going to turn away.
All right. Next topic, the Thunder's doomsday machine. I don't know how many people are watching the NBA right now. It is basketball fanatics and your NBA hardos. I know you are, Naki. Hold that thought. I know Buck Hance is because he's of the NBA.
I even watched the Wizards.
I know. Well, you're paid to watch the Wizards.
I was.
As part of your Oh, you're not doing the monumental thing anymore?
No.
Okay.
They're not doing it as much as, if at all, as they did last year, the Altcast.
Okay, the Altcast, which you did last year. Yeah. Anyway, I, for one, am so locked in on football. I eat my football when the football's on the plate. When the football's over, I start to mix in basketball to my diet, and then it just flows from sport to sport. I looked at the NBA and I go, what? Oklahoma City, your reigning NBA champs, are 20-1. And if that wasn't enough, they have the potential to have two top 10 picks coming up in the NBA draft because of a shitty trade made by somebody, and then the Clippers. The Clippers are right now tanking, and they just told Chris Paul to get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Go home. That's a doomsday machine. Sam Presti, Buck, has built a doomsday machine. And more power to him and more power to them.
More power to him.
How are you going to stop them for the next 5-6 years?
Well, that's a long time because things change. And guys leave.
But they've got layers and layers, and they got their number one guy, SGA.
He's unreal.
Locked in.
Yeah. I don't know if it'll last 4 or 5 years, but clearly they're dominant now and probably for the next couple of years. And when you say dominant, you know, at one point, like even last year, there was a little more parity than we've seen in a long time, and that was great because it wasn't just Golden State and it wasn't just the Celtics. And you kind of thought it would be that way this year with the injuries to people in Indiana and obviously the Celtics, but that team is just a juggernaut.
They, I don't think anybody's given them the respect right now they deserve on the sports landscape, and part of it is because football is still
and they're in the middle of the country in a one pro team town.
They are from a basketball perspective. They do it all the right way. They play 10 or 11 guys.
It's just the flopping and the foul merchanting that is SGA. He gets way too many calls.
If this were the Knicks, the NBA would be apoplectic about.
Love
you'd
it.
Be this all. It'd be
ESPN every morning would spend five segments on
every
the Knicks.
Every morning.
Yeah, Stephen A. Smith would be peacocking up and down the aisles.
Oh, my word. Yeah.
But they're in the irrelevant market, the smallest market in the NBA, in the middle of nowhere. And I'm sure there's great people in Oklahoma. I've never been. But what they've built is incredible. Right now, Thunder are 20-1. The Lakers are next at 15-5 in terms of best records. But the Jazz are 11th at 7-13. Their pick is top 8 protected. But they've got the Clippers pick, which I think is naked. And the Clippers are right now 5-16. They're 14th overall. So
Oklahoma City is an interesting place. It's it's got more than you would think it does. But when we were there right around COVID time when we were playing, I mean, there were times when I saw tumbleweed coming down the street. I'm serious. There is nothing going on there. Now, they have a minor league baseball team, yep. which have a nice stadium. They have some nice hotels. We've talked about this before. They have a hotel there called the Skirvin, which is a Hilton hotel.
Okay.
It's reputed to be haunted. None of the NBA players will stay there.
They won't stay there. Like the Pfister down in Milwaukee?
So I was just going to say the Pfister. Yeah. I walked into the Pfister when Terps were playing Marquette. What a cool place.
I love the Pfister.
And then somebody there was telling me that there are a number of MLB guys that refuse to stay.
A lot of the Hispanic players who are much more superstitious say, no, 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 senor. And they stay somewhere else. Yeah. But it's the nicest hotel
it's
downtown.
So it's beautiful. It's just awesome. So old and beautiful. And they have a great tomato soup and grilled cheese in the lobby. And
Mark doesn't care about the architecture, the history. It's all about the food.
They have a great, great workout facility. It's just an old, venerable hotel. And it's beautiful. But the the one in Oklahoma City, the Skirvin, right, which I call the Skirvin. Scurvy.
Yeah.
I loved staying there. I would invite the ghosts to come to my room, and none of them ever showed up, to my dismay.
You invite? But what are you doing?
Well,
you,
I was challenging.
You're not scared of ghosts?
No, I was challenging the myth.
Oh.
I was challenging the myth. It's like when I guide gamble on cable, which I was doing last night, which we've talked about before.
Repeat that to people who don't know.
Well, and it's infuriating when you're going down the list and you're getting ready to click something on and you say to yourself, God damn it, I know there's going to be a commercial when I click it on, and sure as shit, it's a commercial when you click it on, which tells you that in our lifetime, it has gone from being 22 minutes of content and 8 minutes of commercials to basically half and half.
Well, they've altered the deal. Pray they don't alter it further. This is the same complaint about Red Zone. Red Zone said we're only going to have 4 ads per day.
Right.
It's now up to 16.
Right. And same thing.
Okay. Yeah, 16.
Huh. And it's the same thing now with Netflix and all these others. You think you're paying extra to watch a movie, but now there's ads in the movie.
Okay. I can't believe I'm saying this to a bona fide television man, Naki. I mean, a man who made his whole career in that medium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they align their commercial breaks.
Not necessarily.
But in general, because when you're fleeing one piece of content that's in a commercial break.
That's such a conspiracy.
It's not a conspiracy.
It's against me. It's against me.
Not a conspiracy. It's common sense. The other channels know, hey, that channel is in commercial. We should be in commercial too, because some new people are going to come.
With
to
some
us.
Exceptions.
I agree.
Sporting events.
Yes.
So last night I was guide gambling and I had about $50 on this switch.
Guide gambling.
And I was guide gambling to the Caps game, and sure as shit, I clicked over and it was in a commercial. This isn't a hockey game where they take like 5 commercials the whole night.
Are you betting your left pocket full of money against your right pocket full of money on this?
There's nobody else in the room. I'm betting against myself.
It keeps you entertained.
It does.
After the last pod we did, a friend of mine who listens to this, he lives in Michigan, said to me, I've never heard two guys talk about the Twilight Zone so much.
So enthusiastically.
Because we were talking about our favorite episode.
Yeah, because you unlock this door with the key of imagination.
All right,
beyond it
Skirvin,
is another dimension. The dimension Skirvin, of sound. Dimension of sight, a dimension of mind. You're moving through a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Zabin Zone.
Thank you, Buck. I appreciate that. The Skirvin Hotel in Skirvy. Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with scurvy, which is a disease my dad introduced me to.
Nice.
Because he would threaten us kids, if we don't eat our vegetables and fruits, we would get rickets
and
scurvy, uh-huh. which were the scourge of the settlers on the Mayflower, the Nina, and the
Pinto
Marie, whatever it is. Scurvy disease caused by severe lack of vitamin C leads to general weakness, anemia, and gum disease.
Well, I hope you're taking your vitamin C and your D, because that's big. The D is big.
Well, thank you. This vitamin report brought to you by GNC.
Don't tell us how often you take the D.
So many dick references today on the show. Just amazing.
Please.
I love the fact you're 70, you're almost 70, I'm almost 60.
And we're still 12.
Right. That's what I love. Like, we're never that far away from a good dick joke. That's the best thing. While we're on the NBA, one of my favorite memes or clips from all time is The Office. I assume you're Office fluent.
I've seen it.
Sure.
Okay. Remember the scene where Michael Scott is like, oh, my God, it's happening. It's happening. Calm down. Calm down. Everyone's panicking.
Yeah.
That's happening in Milwaukee now with Giannis. For the longest time, they were just like, this guy loves this city. We love him. He's going to be here forever. That's what the good citizens of Milwaukee wanted to believe. For the first time ever, it's kind of happening. He deleted all of his Instagram and Twitter posts referencing the Bucks. Going back to 2011. What happened in 2011? Or no, oh no, not 2011, 2021.
Yeah.
What happened in 2021? They won the title. And now they're like, oh boy, it's beginning. And they are starting to disintegrate as a team because they're not well constructed. Miles Turner is not that good.
Yeah.
And at some point, Giannis is going to have to say, I have to leave.
The Wizards beat them two nights ago.
That was what really triggered much of the panic.
Yeah, and if you watch the game, it was interesting because he was so frustrated the whole game. They played him as well as anybody can play Giannis. He was on the floor. He couldn't control the ball. He couldn't get in the paint.
They're also fouling the shit out of him. The Bucks have the worst whistle in the league. This is charted already. They're minus 9.
They also called a 10-second violation on him at the free throw line, which was a thing 2 years ago when everybody started counting.
Well, there's a genuine belief, conspiracy theory, that the league is going to smoke him out. That they've cut off the water knocky when it comes to fouls.
Yeah.
You know how referees can do that in a game?
Yes, I do.
Water's been turned off. What the hell happened here? Yeah. We can't operate. Every drive into the lane, we get fouled and there's no call.
Yeah.
Now you're settling for bad jump shots. The game starts getting away from you. If Giannis were to go somewhere, what could the Bucks get back in return?
Nothing. No, you can't.
No equal value for the player of that magnitude.
I don't think so. I mean, who in the league? And why would anybody else give up on a Giannis level player, anyway?
You would have to have contract. You'd have to have a lottery. I mean, not a lottery. You'd have to have a bidding war. Unlike the Luka trade, you'd have to get multiple teams really lathered up, really horny. And even then, you got to make the salaries match. And unfortunately, a lot of the salaries of the guys that you'd want to trade are guys who are mistake salaries, where you go, yeah, probably shouldn't have paid.
I hope he doesn't leave. I think having been. By the way, that's a nice building they play in. That's a really nice building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2017, I believe.
Comfortable size. Yeah. It's not a 22,000 seat arena. It's more like 18, 19, you know. And
yep, very nice.
A very nice spot. But I think I love the story of Oklahoma City. The fact that a small market team could be that good. I hate. I'll never be a Knicks fan. I'll never be a Laker fan. I just not really wired that way.
I'm not saying the Bucks couldn't get good again. But the road back.
Oh, you got to get a lot worse before you get better.
Yes, you have to suffer.
Yeah.
It's like how I saw a note where Barrow, Alaska, the furthest most northern point in the U.S., it goes dark in like mid-November. Sun doesn't come up again till April.
Yeah, that'd be a fun place to be.
I guess there's no golf.
No, there's definitely no golf there for sure. But there is channel bingo, or what do you call it? guide gambling?
Guide gambling. They may have some curling up there. You never know.
Yeah. Then there's this. You're also a kicker, Buck. You kicked in high school at Herndon?
Washington Lee High School, which is now called Washington Liberty.
Right.
Which is unfortunate.
Right. And you were a toe puncher, straight-on kicker
straight-on,
like
Mark Moseley. Square-toed shoe.
Got it. Have you ever, boys, seen what happened to Young Wei Koo?
I saw it.
On Monday night in the Giants-Patriots. Yeah,
he came up a little short.
He stubbed his foot and missed the ball
like a foot and a half. It wasn't even close. I mean, he wasn't anywhere near the ball.
Total gack. I've never seen that.
No, he's a professional kicker. Right.
I've seen kickers hit it fat where their foot hits the ground and they kind of hit a low one.
Like a golf shot.
Squibs. Yeah. Right. Never a full chunk.
The only thing I can think, and you couldn't really tell by watching the replay, was that something happened either with the snap or the hold, which caused him to hesitate just a little bit, and then he came up a foot short. Because otherwise, if you're in that motion and you kicked, you're not going to stop mid-form.
Spoken like a true kicker, Naki, he's instantly blaming the operation, the snap or the hold.
Well, that's
he
all part of it.
Possibly, as an ex-kicker, think it's Young Wei Koo's fault that he fucked up, that he took a wrong half step. Listen to this apologist over here.
My favorite part of that whole thing was the reaction shots of guys like, you know, Dark.
Jackson Dark.
Oh my God.
There goes Bob Hisaoka.
All right. And then I got one more.
Second base for the Cubs.
I got one more for you guys. Buck, you never had children, but Naki, you did.
Not that I know of, no.
Not that you know of, and none that you're paying for. But
so far,
the whole phenomenon of Legos has always been fascinating to me. I've bought my kids their fair share of Lego sets. Not as many as some people buy their kids. Did you buy your kids Legos?
Absolutely. Okay. Loved them. The boys did.
There is a guy who has what I'm dubbing the unified Lego theory. Do you want to hear what his unified Lego theory
I'm intrigued.
Is? Okay.
Yeah.
This is
I'm
from,
not.
This is from Dave Green. He says, one baffling thing about kids' Christmas gifts is Lego. All kids love them, have for generations. And every one of their parents donated a metric ton of Lego to Goodwill when their kids finally left home.
Right? Mm-hmm. True.
Yet there is never Lego
at
Goodwill. So where are they? Lego bricks are indestructible. They survive vacuums and garbage disposals and digestive tracts of animals.
And
they probably could survive nuclear war, but they're never on consignment. My theory, says Dave Green, is that all Lego was made in 1958, and the Lego Corp itself quietly buys them back and remarkets them in new products continuously. The total worldwide supply of Lego never grows and never
stays
falls,
constant,
which is what explains their constantly inflating prices. It's my total conservation of Lego theory.
This guy also guide gambles, by the way.
I'm a fan of odd conspiracy theories. I would want a brochure on that to read more.
Noted. You know what? He's not wrong about you go to a consignment store, there's
never Legos.
Yeah.
Maybe Lego swoops in and says, no, we don't want that here because that
they
devalues.
They can't go to every Goodwill or every,
you don't know how Big Brick operates. They've got people.
Big Brick.
All right. It's been a wonderful lunch, fellas. Good to see you. Happy
Thank you.
Holidays.
Appreciate the
invite. Probably will not get another one in before Christmas, so okay. I wish you guys a Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you.
Kiss his ass. Kiss his ass. Fuck you. Happy. What's the line from Christmas Vacation? Even you, a Jew, can like Christmas Vacation, right? Please tell
of course.
Me you love the movie.
We celebrated Christmas when I was growing up. Both.
Oh, you were a both family.
Absolutely. It was, and back then, it's like you didn't know that, you know, Christ was the Savior. You just had a tree.
You had secular Christmas.
He was also Jewish.
Consumerist
to
Christmas.
He was Jewish, yeah. Yes. So yes. You had a tree. We had presents. We also did Hanukkah, where we got a present every night.
Every day.
That was a great thing.
What a great scam that
How
is.
How about that?
Yeah,
huh?
That was a great scam.
Awesome.
Right there.
It's fabulous.
All right. Naki for Maryland basketball. Give me the upcoming schedule
On
here.
On the road at Iowa, at home against Michigan, who is spectacular right now, playing their asses
Buzzsaw.
Off.
Buzzsaw.
And then a couple of... Oh, we're at UVA, too, getting that series revived.
Nice.
And then back to the Big Ten after Jan 1.
I'd like to see a little Maryland-JMU matchup at some point.
Probably not going to happen.
We invite you to watch our football game Friday night on regular ESPN
nice.
At 7
Ooh,
o'clock.
Time.
That's big time.
I did catch the Charleston. I did watch the game last weekend, most of it.
Coastal Carolina.
Yeah,
they just blew them away.
Buck,
yeah.
I'm rooting for your Dukes, big time.
Thank you, brother.
I want them to make it, but I'd be safe.
I'd be happy with a nice bowl game, because what would happen if we got into the playoffs? Be the same thing that happened at Liberty last year when they went to Oregon. They got destroyed.
Yeah.
If we started out before 2 weeks ago, they would have played Georgia in the first round. We're not on that level.
You sure it was Liberty last year?
Well, they did go to Oregon and get killed.
Liberty was in the football playoff?
I don't think they were in the playoffs. This might have been a bowl game.
Oh, bowl game.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But in the playoffs, and now it's changed to, I don't know, Texas A&M or somebody.
North Texas could be one of the group of five.
No, but this would be our first round opponent, which would be a big school.
All right, cool.
And as much as I love JMU, they're not on that level. So I don't know if it's better to get national exposure and then get embarrassed, or just go 12-1 and go to a nice bowl game and win it.
Oh, you want to be in that conversation, man.
The conversation's great, but I'm telling you, man, it doesn't look good for you when you go somewhere and then you get beat by 40 points.
Yeah. All I know is you lost Cignetti to Indiana.
And now we lost Chesney to UCLA.
You lost Chesney to UCLA.
And Cignetti took 13 of our players, four or five of them who start.
Okay.
I mean, they're good.
Okay, but like Jordan Belfort said in The Wolf of Wall Street, the show goes on!
It goes on.
You've got to trust that the show goes on down there in Harrisburg.
Chesney has won 2 years that he's been there, and now he's gone. The curse,
find another Chesney.
The curse of the good mid-major. You can't keep anybody. We can't pay them. You can't keep players. You can't keep coaches. That's the world we live in
now. It's not a curse. You guys are living in the salad days of JMU football.
They're good.
Relish it.
Enjoy it.
All right. Boys, we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Thank you to the Palm for our power lunch, and we will see you tomorrow.
So what happens now? Is the food free, or do we pay someone?
Of course not. They send you a bill.